U.S. Senator Mike Enzi will soon be entering his 20th year in the U.S. Senate. Enzi has had a long political career that began as mayor of Gillette and included time in the Wyoming House and Senate. Enzi currently serves as the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee and is the former chair of the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, among others. We conducted the interview just before the news of Donald Trump's taped comments on women was released, but despite those comments, his staff says he still supports Trump. We begin our conversation talking about changes he wants from a new president, such as rolling back EPA regulations.
Well, those definitely have to be attacked for Wyoming's sake, and the whole state's finding out that we've been relying on energy. As I travel around the state, I notice a marked difference in the way people are thinking about energy. The rest of the nation isn't feeling it as much. There are only a dozen states that are noticing that energy impact, but we've been working with Trump to make sure that he understood the energy situation, and I think that he does, and there are several things that he could reverse immediately. There are others that we could send him that he could actually sign that have been vetoed before that would make a difference for jobs and the economy. But and all of that, you know, goes back to the budget.
How do you balance making sure that we don't get too far so we're still in protecting the environment while also allowing, you know, business to continue?
Well, the biggest thing we can do in that area is realize the inventiveness of the American people. There's a person right here, well, he's just outside of Laramie, who's figured out a way to, when the coal is being pulverized, to take out a bunch of the things that would cause a problem and pay for it with the precious metals that are in it. It's an interesting approach. I know another person that knows how to take that same stuff out of the fly ash. And one of the things in coal is rare earth. And rare earth is needed for batteries. And we're always relying more and more on batteries. So inventiveness of the American people can solve any of those problems that are out there. There's a mercury and toxins regulation. And there's supposed to be a cost-benefit analysis on all of those things. Well, the benefit from that's supposed to be about $500 million. I don't know over what lifetime because they never disclose that to us, but the annual cost of complying with it is $10 billion. I'm pretty sure that $1 billion prize to solve that problem would have probably solved it instead of forcing companies to put that kind of money in each year to solve a problem that's pretty small, really.
It does look, when you look at the market, like there are a lot of electricity companies, and probably because of the rules that have been put in place, that are moving away from coal. Natural gas is very cheap right now, and for some, renewables is working. And we just saw the other day that electricity prices are down. So, I mean, does seem to be something that, if you're looking at the bottom line, must be working out for them.
Well, natural gas will be the next one attacked after they take care of coal. It's another carbon fuel. And again, there are things that can be done with natural gas to make it even better. But early on, I worked with Black Hills Power because the city of Gillette bought some electricity from them. And they were looking at going to natural gas for their peaking power in winter at Rapid City until they realized that it was going to take as much natural gas for them to do just the peaking power as it took to heat the entire city of Rapid City. They were worried about overusing it and collapsing pipes at the same time, which would have put everybody out of energy.
Visiting with U.S. Senator Mike Enzi, this is from our energy team. I'm supposed to ask you this. Economists almost universally point to a carbon tax as the most market-friendly, efficient way to address some of these climate issues. Many energy companies are currently pushing this, Shell, Exxon, BP. You've opposed that. How do you propose to address the problem of carbon emissions without some sort of a tax?
There's an interesting experiment going on in Gillette right now. The Dry Fork Power Plant, which is one of the best coal user, carbon reducing plants in the United States, has had a contest to see who could make coal carbon better. And I think that they approved over 20 projects to be done on 200 acres of their land up there. And some of them are pretty unique. One of them is from here, there are some people that know how to grow plants vertically instead of horizontally. And when I met with them, I asked them how many they could put in a greenhouse. And they said, well, we can't. They'd suffocate. not enough CO2. So I suggested maybe they see if there was a power plant that they could use the CO2 and the residual heat and grow more food. Food's going to be a problem for this country and for the world. And some things like that might provide some solutions. There are solutions out there.
Do you still like investing in things like carbon capture and storage technology?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that fascinates me about the current rule is that there's a limit to how much they can save and get credit for. That's a positive incentive for doing what a carbon tax would do, but they want to cap it. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make any sense to me.
Also wanted to ask you about, we just heard the other day at one of the minerals meetings here in Wyoming about a number of wind projects proposed for Wyoming, including we've heard about the largest wind farm possibly being here in this state. I don't know if I want to call you skeptical of wind development, but maybe you've not been as big a fan as some other folks. Are you changing your views on that at all?
Oh, I've never opposed wind power. I just thought that they all ought to play on a level playing field. And that hasn't been the case. We've subsidized power enough so that in the states where the wind doesn't blow, the people don't need it to blow and they still make money off of the wind towers. That's wrong. California thinks that their only power comes from wind power. And one of the things that really disturbs me is on any CO2 emissions, we get penalized for coal. Any saving of CO2 by doing wind power, California gets a credit. They're not generating the electricity. They shouldn't get the credit. Wyoming should get the credit.
Do you have an agreement that we do need to do something about climate change, though? And so to balance what you're talking about and to get to that point, what do you need to come up with?
Well, I think we need to keep improving what we're doing. We need to be good stewards for what we're doing. And I'd prefer to see us encouraging scientists to do some good things. I've said for a long time that there's been $5 billion a year spent to prove that there's climate change and $5 billion a year to prove that there isn't. If we spent that $10 billion on incentive just to clean things up, I think it'd make a huge difference.
Now, can I ask you about Hillary Clinton? You know, you worked with her, as I said. Do you think she would be somebody who could work across the aisle better than what you've seen with President Obama?
I know that she's very liberal. And I'm really concerned about the appointments that she'd make to the Supreme Court. And I've heard her make comments about coal ought to all stay in the ground, doesn't give any credit for being able to do anything better with it. After we had hundreds laid off in Gillette from the coal mines in 1 week, she said, if you're not a coal miner, this won't affect you. The next week, there were thousands laid off on the railroads. They didn't believe what she said. And now it's trickled down through the whole Wyoming economy so that we can see that she just doesn't have much experience at anything except government.
She has proposed billions of dollars for aid for some of the coal communities. And when she made her trip to Kentucky,
nothing that makes me more furious than that. I've talked to the coal miners, and what they really like is their job back. They'd like to be contributing to the economy, not getting paid by the economy. And they all know that there aren't many jobs out there that they can retrain for where they're going to make the kind of money that they made doing what they like to do. In Campbell County, the average wage for a coal miner is $80,000 a year. They can't find anything where they can train for that they'll make half that much. And, of course, if you got these people working, they're paying taxes, which help to keep government going. And it is about jobs and the economy. We're in a real bad spot on that.
Change your attention to healthcare. You know, it's something that I know is near and dear to your heart. And as you've watched the Affordable Care Act over the last few years, we've had a number of conversations about reforms that possibly could happen, and they never go anywhere. No matter who's elected, do you see maybe some improvement in that law?
Oh, there absolutely has to be improvement in that. When we started talking about it, there were 30 million people that didn't have insurance. Today, there are 30 million people that don't have insurance. It's a different 30 million. The 30 million that couldn't get insurance have insurance. The 30 million that had it can't afford it, so they don't have it. So there have to be changes. And one of the biggest indications of that was Bill Clinton himself, who said this is kind of an abomination, that it isn't going to work, it needs changes. I'm just hoping when we do the changes, we don't, you know, trundle out with another 2,500-page process on this thing. If we do good legislation, we need to do it the way Wyoming does, a bit at a time, a step at a time. I worked with Senator Kennedy, and we came up with a 10-step process for doing health care. All that got thrown out when Obama knew that he had the idea. But a lot of those would work and would increase competition, which is what we need. We've got to have increased competition on it. Getting down to one or no insurance companies in the state that will help people isn't going to do it. It's about the need to get care for people and to get it in a reasonable way and not to put so many regulations on the doctors that they can't provide the kind of care that we expect.
When I read some of the comments from lawmakers in Washington, there is seems to be a large majority of them that just want to tear the whole thing up, which leads to this question. So what happens to the people that finally have insurance and do they lose? How do you do this without screwing up their lives too?
Well, they have to be taken care of. The people that couldn't get insurance before need to have insurance. The kids that are covered to 26 is a good idea. So there are good things in there. They just have a lot of unintended consequences also in the bill. The things that they said, well, you'll know what's in it after we pass it. And that's exactly what happened. I hate it when we do these comprehensive bills. Comprehensive means it's going to be so big that nobody's going to be able to comprehend it. Plus, it gives an opportunity to stick in a whole bunch of little things that people won't notice for a long time. And the president's noticed a bunch of things. That's why he does waivers. A penalty to make it mandatory is wrong.
How would being able to buy insurance across state lines impact our situation here in this state?
I think it'd improve it dramatically, both being able to buy across that way. And another proposal that I had was where people through organizations or associations right. They belong to could group together to get a big enough group to have some negotiating capability with the insurance companies. And that's what they need to have.
Why did that never get passed, adopted?
Obamacare. I was well on the way to getting some of those things done and had quite a bit of support for them. But President Obama didn't like them.
U.S. Senator Mike Enzi, always nice chatting with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure. Enjoyed visiting with you.